And I'd forgotten, and I told her, well, just tell Pastor Dave, he was superintendent here, he lived here, just tell him it's BC dress. And then I come up here. And Pastor Dave came in, and I thought, oh my goodness, I forgot what I had told him. And I thought, and then I remembered, well, number one, I'm from Ontario, so it's my Ontario genes. But I also remember back in Ontario, I didn't dress up a whole lot. But when I did, I would tell my congregation, it's one of three reasons. Either someone's died, my mom's visiting, or the superintendent's here. But it is a deep honor for us and for me personally to be able to invite to our pulpit to share with us the General Superintendent of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, a man of God, a great preacher of the word, David Wells. Brother Dave, God bless you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ralph and Sue, for the privilege of the invite to be back in Sydney. And it was my privilege, along with Susan, who's here with me today, and glad that our daughter Shannon brought my granddaughters over for the couple days here. Do we have any grandfathers here? Yeah. You know what happens. Your wife becomes a nana, and you drop way down on the priority scale because those grandkids and these granddaughters are going to take priority. But I appreciate my daughter bringing the girls over. Otherwise, I might not have seen them on this trip. We loved our time serving here in British Columbia, and seven of those years we were the district superintendents. And during that time, Pastor John invited us over to share here in Sydney, and so I have great memories of serving BC Yukon, but also visiting here with the Sydney Church. And so I thank you folks for the invite to come back on the 75th anniversary, and Susan and I, and our national fellowship and our international fellowship do congratulate you on those 75 years. We are celebrating 100 points of light, and quite simply, that's to think, well, folks like we have serving in international missions, even who we've honored here today, wouldn't you want to see 100 more bersaglios out there in the world representing Jesus and his church well and serving people, spirit, soul, and body? And that's what the whole focus of 100 Points of Light is. So I thank you folks for honoring that as part of your 75th celebration, and also for making that a priority in the ministry of this church through the years. We are a national international fellowship, and so I'm glad some of our national presence is here today, not just Susan and myself, but it's great to have Pastor Craig and Wendy as our Eastern Ontario and Nunavut. Don't forget Iqaluit. I'm going to be up there in September. I know where it is, and I finally get there. So they serve so well. And we actually, I can guarantee you I won't preach long, because Craig and I have to be in national executive meetings by 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we both want to eat. So you're guaranteed a certain ending. Great to see our friends from Jonquière, Quebec aussi. C'est un plaisir. It's great to have you folks with us. And BC Yukon has always had a strong connection to La Belle Province and church-to-church partnerships and so on. And so it's very good to see the Girards here with us today. If you want to see their church, you go on Facebook Live and you can catch it. It's available. Sometimes I check in on what's going on there as well. So, an anniversary, I always welcome every opportunity to come and speak with our churches when they're celebrating. Some have already now been celebrating their 100th anniversary. In fact, Some of our churches were well established before we as a national fellowship were established. We're going into our 100th year with this conference that we're having this week here in Victoria. We're launching our centenary year. And it's been a really good time to remind ourselves about the very thing that Pastor Elf was alluding to. When you go back into your records and you look at your history and you say, what were those critical pillars that have seen us thus far? What is it that we actually do want to pass on to next generations? Maybe what are some of the things we want to leave off so that next generations don't have to carry the weight of some of the things that we've done in the past? But there's a lot of things, of course, that are legacy, that are meant to be passed on. It's often alluded to as a relay race. And I have had the privilege of serving as Canadian chaplain at various Olympics and most recently at the Commonwealth Games in Australia. And our Canadian relayers have a bit of a mixed history about how they do. I was serving in London in 2012 and knew some of the guys in the relay race. And they were in the highest levels of competition against our Jamaican friends and Usain Bolt and so on. And they managed to come in third, but then they were disqualified. And but then they came back and did well in Rio, and they finished fourth, but then one of the teams in front of them were disqualified, so then we got our bronze medal. In the Gold Coast, including an athlete who actually attends a Pentecostal church in the Ottawa region, they got into the transition lane between the second and third runner, and they messed it up, and they were disqualified again, and they were one of the favorites perhaps for the gold medal. Such is the nature of relay races. Not all churches do the relay well. Not all churches remember that the church has to outlast them. And so I appreciated Pastor Bob, for instance, honoring those who've been run the race and ran it well, and they passed the baton well, and now they're celebrating with Jesus. But we still can honor those who made sure the relay got passed along. Today is a day to really ask ourselves, what is it we want to pass along, and are we going to do it well? And the first thing you've got to realize in a relay race is, in the end, it's not about you. The team's got to do the work together, and it's all about from generation to generation in the life of the church. I would like to draw your attention to the Revelation because we've been encouraging our Pentecostal family to think, what is it that we are passing along from generation to generation and what it means to continue to be vital churches that have something to give and something to offer to next generations. And you go to the Revelation. Why? Because here's a classic passage. And you actually have a middle-aged church. It's interesting to read the scriptures and realize that when John receives the revelation of Jesus and then passes on what the Spirit says regarding the revelation of Jesus to these seven churches, they're not new churches. They've been around for a while. They're into their next generations of existence. And they're beginning to show signs of age. And the Spirit needs to speak to them. The Spirit needs to speak to the Pentecostal family in Canada. I have no qualms saying that to you today. Of course, the Spirit needs to speak to all the churches that bear the name of Jesus in Canada. And we need to have ears to hear what the Spirit would say. So you have here in the Revelation that John, of course, our brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So he's in imprisonment, he's in isolation, just off the coast of Turkey. And on the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit. Good place to be on the Lord's Day, right? And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash, and around his chest, his head and hair were like white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you've seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels, the angelos, the messengers of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Now, Lord, I ask for that miracle that only you can do, where you take these words that I share and you take your word and you make it living and active in our lives so that we end up looking more like Jesus. We ask for that miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. We've been in a process, Pastor Craig can verify this, where we are seeking to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. We want to be a vital church within the nation of Canada. We want to represent Jesus well to this country that we love so much. And as we think about that, we have this great pattern of going back to the Revelation and how the Spirit spoke to the churches at that time. And the first thing we understand is that Jesus reveals himself to his churches. He reveals himself in the Revelation as a living Lord. So John gets a vision, an unveiling, a revelation of Jesus Christ as not just the crucified Lord, but he is the risen Lord. And he is living and active in his oversight of the churches. He holds the keys of death and Hades in his hands. There's all this imagery and pictures of this active Jesus. So we don't just, when we're seeking to have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, we know that we're not just talking about some far-off Jesus or some sentimentalized deity. We are talking in Sydney today, in Highway, about a living, active Lord that is amongst the lampstands. He's in the middle of his church. I don't have the time of day for a Christian faith that would take Jesus out of the picture. Please don't call yourself Christian then. Go be something else. But Jesus is in the picture. And he's living and active. He's a resurrected Lord. He physically resurrected. They were able to see him and to touch him. This is an emphasis of the New Testament writers, because Jesus, therefore, remains active in speaking to tangible bodies of believers all the way through for these 2,000 years. Here we are on your anniversary. Do you want to hear from a living, active Lord? Or do you want to have just a sentimental moment of remembering the past? No, living, active. And he's among them. And he speaks. He speaks with his majesty. He's powerful. So again, we're not just dealing with a sentimental Jesus where you can shape him into your own image and make him whatever you want him to be. He is who he is, objectively. Whether I agree with the revelation of him or not, we are given the revelation of this risen, active Lord, and he's powerful. And actually, the imagery that is used speaking of his power and of his strength will then be applied to the different churches distinctly based on how the Spirit speaks to those churches. So it's very intentional, this revelation of Jesus and these pictures, you know, swords coming out of mouths and glowing feet and all these things. You go into Revelation 2 and 3, those are practically applied to the individual churches. And what the Spirit says about Jesus and what the Spirit says to those churches is to be the focus of those churches. There's a lot of things churches focus on. I've been in a lot of board meetings myself. I was a district superintendent. I'm a national superintendent. I got lots of files about what churches talk about. And Pastor Ralph's been reading your minutes, you know. We do important things, practical things. That's normative. You know, we have facilities, so we have to talk about how we're going to pay for the facility, maintain the facility. We look at financial reports and so on and so forth. But, you know, the main priority of the angelos, the messengers in the life of the church, the people that provide the pastoral leadership, the eldership, those that serve even as deacons, is to have ears to hear what the Spirit says about the vitality of that church, about the life of that church. Because you can keep church buildings going, and you can keep paying the bills as long as you've got people around. But there comes a time when the church lacks the very vitality that Jesus is looking for in the life of his church. And that's a serious thing. And part of why it's serious is because, again, the church has to outlast us. It's for our children and my grandchildren. And it better be a living, active church. There's thousands of church buildings across Canada that are being sold right now. Do you think the Canadian church better have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? I hope this isn't too sober on an anniversary. So I do have good news. So the Spirit reveals Jesus to these seven churches. There's the revelation of chapter 1 that we all share in, and we've shared in for 2,000 years. And we share in with our friends from many other different denominational groupings and so on. I was just privileged to be in Bogota, Colombia, representing the Pentecostal World Fellowship, along with many, the whole wide swath of the Christian community globally. And we shared our stories of faith and how we have been touched by Jesus right across. And you know, you got brothers and sisters on every part of the planet and on every tribe within the Christian family. The Church of Jesus is great. And you know what? Globally, it's vibrant. So that's good news. And the interesting thing is we share this one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We share this gospel. And these seven churches shared that revelation of Jesus. But then the Spirit speaks to each of those seven churches with distinct application. We have close to 1,200 disciple-making communities across Canada right now that are part of the Pentecostal family. I literally expect each and every one of those churches and congregations to, with their leadership, to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying distinctly to them. Because I love this country. I know this country well. I've been privileged to live in BC. I know the island. I know Saanich. There's distinctions about Saanich that aren't quite the same as Jonquière, Quebec. One thing is language. You know, they don't talk island talk there. There's a beautiful language called Francais. But deeper than that, you see, the Spirit knows this church at 75 years of age, located here in Sydney, on the Saanich Peninsula, in the greater Victoria region. And you need to have ears to hear what the Spirit says distinctly to you at this time. Now, that's good news, that you have a Lord who, by his Spirit, is able to speak distinctly. There's shared things we all know about the gospel, about our Lord, about being the church, about mission and so on. We share those together. But then in the local setting, ears to hear what the Spirit says. And so the Spirit speaks distinctly. And even, again, aspects of the revelation of Jesus are given very specifically to the churches. Churches he's going to correct, all of a sudden the imagery of the sword coming out of the mouth. They get to hear about the sword coming out of the mouth, because when the Lord speaks his word, he wants it to be sharper than a two-edged sword. He wants it to bring change. Distinct speech. He affirms the good aspects of this character. You know, Shannon's the best person who could comment on this today, my daughter. But I've tried to be a loving parent through the years, not perfect. Any of you manage perfection in parenting? I know I didn't. My wife's closer to it than I am, probably. But anyways, Shannon doesn't have to comment. But, you know, you do learn, it's so essential in parenting that you give affirmation, that a child needs to have affirmation. A daughter needs to hear from her father how proud he is of her. And you know, I'm not just talking theory here right now. The mercy heart that my daughter has. The way people want to be friends with her because they know she'll stick with them. That even the tragedies that they've experienced in their life and the comfort they have found now becomes comfort to others, even internationally. I'm so proud of that girl. And I tell her to her face, not just in front of audiences, you know. And so I'm proud of Sydney Pentecostal, now Highway. I'm proud of the stories of your commitment to global mission. And I was reading your history, and it's even there in the brochures, but how you started, and how did it start? Caring for children, providing a place for the Word of God to be shared, that the church developed, that it needed to be planted, but that maintained the focus on Sunday school. You know, Ted talked about when he came here how the Sunday school was so strong and buses were running. You see, if you want to run the relay race and win and pass the baton from generation to generation, you better care about children and youth. You better have the willingness to lay down your priorities as a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old, a 70-year-old, and say the most important thing is the next generation. And that's in the DNA of this church. May it be true of the future of this church. Because that is how you win the relay race. And so, we affirm the good and right. And I appreciate that your leaders that came up here, and I know those guys, and, you know, I actually love those guys. I've had some good times with them when I was their superintendent. And, you know, the affirmation they bring and remembering specific people and so on, you know. It's so important for the family to affirm, even as the Lord of the church affirms his children. We need to have ears to hear to say, what does the Lord say is good and right? Because when a church is under duress, like the church in Canada is under duress, you can turn so negative and it can all be what's wrong and what isn't good and yada, 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 you know. But you have to have ears to hear what the Spirit says about what is good and what is right and build on the affirmation. A child that's always just getting beat on, told how lousy they are, constantly being corrected, yelled at, screamed at. You know, how does that child turn out generally? Insecure, ineffective, not knowing their purpose, not having wings to become all that God wants them to be. So it is in the life of the church. So I, as a national leader, affirm your heart for the mission in Canada and around the world. I affirm your history of pouring into next generations. I affirm your love for the presence of God and worship and so on. But, you know, have ears to hear, what does the Spirit say then about today? and about the future. We build on the affirmation, but we also have ears to hear how the Spirit would correct. You know the Lord is a good parent, and whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. I would give myself passing grades as a disciplinarian, as a parent. I was a little too harsh at times. I was a little inconsistent. I could let my anger get in the way. But overall, I tried to live the life, be consistent, call my kids to the same kind of disciplines, right? But our Heavenly Father, is in his perfection, both in love, the goodness and severity of God, he comes to the church and he corrects and he speaks to the churches. And the Lord is correcting us. I'm going to fast forward a little bit here today, but we've been zeroing in on the things that the Spirit spoke to those seven churches about. Really three areas of their life. There's the spiritual vitality component. So when he speaks to the church at Ephesus, that's actually what he corrects. And he corrects them quite strongly. There's the truth component. We bear witness of a true gospel, of a risen Lord. There are some non-negotiables if you want to call yourself the Christian church. Jesus as the one and only. And even in that middle-aged churches in Turkey at that time, they were already experiencing the pressures of having another message and telling another truth. And so the Spirit spoke to several of those churches and corrected them in the area of their theology, of their truth, of their message. Because it's truth that sets people free. It's not creating a church or a culture where you shape God into your own image and God becomes whatever you want God to be. There is a true revelation through Jesus Christ by the Word of God. And the Spirit uses that truth as living and active, and truth sets us free. And then the Spirit spoke to them about their faithfulness and witness. Some of them, I was listening to it again this morning, some of them actually were serving in where the Spirit, Jesus speaking to the churches, they said, where Satan has his throne. How would you like to be a church where Satan has his throne? I know a lot of churches, they think they are where Satan has his throne. But the whole bottom line is in our mission, we are about spiritual battle. We are not wrestling against our fellow Canadians who we love and care for deeply. But we wrestle against spiritual forces that would try to hold back the good news from coming to Canadians. And coming to Zambian orphans. And coming to women that are brutalized and marketed and trafficked. You know, we go, whether it's in Canada or around the world, and we have a mission. We go to Sunday school kids like me who were not going to church, who'd never heard about Jesus. And then I had good parents, but just in the circumstances of their life and so on, they didn't get around to it. But someone got me to a Sunday school like the Sunday schools you had here in the Saanich region and in Sydney. And it transformed a kid's life. That church in Edmonton, through its branch Sunday school, was faithful to the mission and it changed a life. And it created a whole new history of a family and families because one church was faithful in its mission to the kids. We have to have ears to hear what the mission is. And the mission is not my convenience or for an hour and a half do I get what I want. It's about hearing the risen Lord and knowing He walks amongst us and how He calls us to first love. He calls us like the Spirit spoke to Ephesus. You've even been faithful in mission and you've even been teaching the truth. But one thing I have against you, you've left first love. So the Spirit speaks consistently about these three areas, but it starts with the root system. You know, on the West Coast and on the island, we know all about massive trees. And we know about root systems. Usually we end up battling them in our yards, right? And it's kind of, you know. But if that tree's healthy and if it's strong and if it's not going to blow over in the next windstorm like we just had in Ontario on Friday, if it's not going to blow over, you know, you know where it goes back to. It goes back to the roots. I've got 30-meter tall walnut trees in our yard back in Ontario. I every so often get those root systems checked. I want to know they're healthy. Why? Because the rest of the tree will hold up and be healthy if the root system's healthy. Here's the great command. It will not go away. It will be with us till the final day when we are all together with Jesus. Here is the bottom line. It's not rocket science. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. You're to love neighbor as yourself. In many incidents within the life of the Canadian church, we are the Ephesus church. We're active, we're busy. In the Pentecostal world, we still do our best to talk about truth, honor Jesus as the one and only, make sure that his message is heard in Canada and around the world. But there's a very real danger that we won't make it to the end of the relay race. Why? Because the Spirit is speaking to us about first love. From the youngest to the oldest. And the Spirit speaks to Ephesus and says, I have one thing against you. You've lost first love. And in essence, he tells them and he warns them, I'm going to remove the candlestick. What was the candlestick? It's the church. I'm not going to consider you a church anymore if you don't recapture first love. So we honor those who've served with first love. We've honored those who've been worshipers. We honor those who've lived out the gospel and given the good news and lived lives of truth, who've been on a mission. Many of you have lived that way, and we honor you today. But the clarion call to us is to remember what first love looks like. And to return to first love. And to redo the things that we did at first. For the sake of our kids. For the sake of our grandchildren. If we take this theme serious today, we will continually return to first love. Because without love, we're zip. Zero, nada, nil. We have nothing. And we're not the church anymore. Love for God, passionate love for others, so that we can share good news, the truth of Jesus, and be about the mission of God, and watch lives around us be transformed. But Highway, I'm calling you back to the root system. Keep the love strong. Really, frankly, I don't care about your age. You got to be a loving person when you're 82, just like you do when you're 22. Or don't call yourself a follower of Jesus, right? I want to be more in love with Jesus when they put me in the box than I am now, or when I was even a teenage kid, staying up late at night under my blanket with my flashlight because my mom thought I was asleep. But I wanted to know more about Jesus, and I'd have the Bible open, and I'd be reading it under my blanket, the flashlight on. David, are you asleep yet? Getting there. Don't yell. Reading your Bible while you lie to your mother. Not a good practice. So on this day of celebration, and it is, I hope you hear the affirmation, the celebration. But the church never lives on its laurels. We're always wanting to be red hot with first love, to keep growing. And that's what I call you to today. And out of that will come a life of blessing that will go through the next generations. Would you stand with me, please? And pastors will take it over in just a second, but would you just do this simple act of an upraised hands, just offering yourself to Would you, just in the quietness of your own prayer, say to the living Lord who walks amongst us today, Lord, I have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. My heart is open. My mind is open to your word. And Lord, as we offer ourselves to you, I pause first of all to affirm and express appreciation to the many that have served faithfully and have served out of love and have given themselves sacrificially and have poured into the life of the church and its mission because they know the power of the gospel and the ability of the church to strengthen a community and to see lives transformed and families transformed. Lord, we offer ourselves to you in that way. Lord, we affirm the good and right of those who've gone before us in the relay race and even served us faithfully out of love for you and love for others. We would not be ungrateful children. We pause and we say a big thank you for those who've run the race and gotten the baton around to where we're at. But now, Lord, we want to be faithful to pass that baton on. We want to put it into the hands of next generation with strength and with power and, Lord, with real sense of your love and your Spirit's work and your word living and active. So, Lord, we pray for a rejuvenation of first love today. We want to love you, first of all, Lord, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, whatever is sidetracking some of our friends that are here today, including ourselves, Lord, speak to us. Speak as clearly as you spoke to Ephesus. Lord, speak to us to let go of those things that distract, that become like weights and sins and wear us down. Liberate us in Jesus' name to be free to love you completely, wholly. We honor you, Jesus, and your lordship over our lives and your lordship over this church. You're worthy of all the love because of your grace and your power and the freedom you bring. The great work that you have done for us on that cross, your resurrection life. We love you, Jesus. We worship you today. Heart, soul, mind, strength. And now, Lord, Sometimes it might seem a little easier to love you than it is to love neighbor as herself, especially the neighbors that are real close, even the ones we share a church with. So do the miraculous work of helping us to remember first love with those we serve with in the life of the church. And Lord, those that are in our community, neighbors, friends, people we work with, some who even frustrate us, help us understand what love looks like in human relationships. May we grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for Highway Christian Fellowship, a new season, a freshness in Jesus' name of red-hot love for you, and that love getting lived out towards others with truthful witness that transforms lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.